Hello, and welcome to the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we actually do talk about Dungeons and Dragons occasionally, but we try not to.
Well, we typically talk about other things that are similar to, but not related to, Dungeons and Dragons.
True enough, like Parallel Kingdoms.
And Red Tower.
Yeah.
Which I don't know anything about.
We're waiting for it to start.
Yep.
We're invested.
We're in limbo. Yeah, I donated $50 to their deal. It's not going to come out till March at the earliest. So that did become of the adequate funding.
Right.
So it's supposed to be like Parallel Kingdom. Just a new revised version by a different creators. It's a spinoff of Parallel Kingdom, basically. But since Parallel Kingdom shut down, there's been a bunch of people working on creating a new PK.
I wonder if Jesus would find me using my tithe to invest in this. An appropriate investment.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, it's a donation, you know. You're donating to a cause to help you get off the ground. You know, it's a hand up, not a hand out. So it might be appropriate. It is a game, so it's kind of borderline appropriate.
I'm pretty sure that they're not feeding the people and whatever.
That's true. You have to look at what is their fundamental belief structures. You know, what supports.
What are they promoting to the game and such? So.
Well, not only that, but what do they support outside of the game? Because you're supporting them. And
yeah.
You're supporting whatever they support. But if you like the game, you want to donate to the game, donate to the game.
Right. I'll put my money into it, not my tithe.
Right.
All righty. So,
heads up. David Ray's phone's dead.
It's at 11% right now. I am charging, and I should kill the screen.
So he's charging the battery right now. I'm going to go inside of Joe Mama's.
Yeah, we're going to Joe Mama's house.
We're going to start the podcast there. Back to the driveway. He better back into the driveway than backing out.
Yep.
And
since I'm a vital part of this podcast, it's important that my phone doesn't die in the middle. So I'm going to be charging up the phone while we do this, and hopefully at some point my screen comes on and says, the battery's full of charge, and I'll go into the house and stop freezing.
Freezing, I can't see anything.
Boom!
Yeah, I can see, but gotta put on the brakes in order to see.
Yeah, this is Kano backing into a driveway with no backing lights.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with the backing lights. I'll have to ask Joe since I bought it from him. Joe, what's up with your truck that I bought from you? Maybe I gotta put it in first for the lights. Nope. That's the other truck. What? Yeah, I ain't got no reverse lights. Why is that? Somebody told me a truck that don't have reverse lights on.
Well, I don't know.
Go stand back there and make sure he doesn't give you insurance clause.
Oh, I can see.
Stop. It's a whole truck over there. Look up that mirror and probably see the front, okay?
Yeah, I know. David walked through there.
Yeah, I think that stuff about it. Stop going up in the hole.
This is good, yeah.
Okay.
Anybody else coming?
No, nobody else.
Okay.
All right. So you two will enjoy the warmth of the inside. He's going to close that window. I'm going to charge my phone, and you guys will be on the podcast via his phone.
Okay, you charge your phone. Is that what you're going to do? Coming in
your here? Charger will not charge my phone fast enough.
I got a fast charger.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
We'll try it out.
Really?
Yeah, really. It's called turbocharger. It's my turbo phone, and it's turbocharger.
Really?
I think it's 6.1 amps.
You heard him. I'm at 13% charge right now. My phone is already complaining because I unplugged.
Okay.
Okie dokie. So, I'll be monologuing, I guess.
Right here.
Well, turn on your mic. Because you're on mute. Yeah, I don't hear you. Speak up.
I said no duh. I don't
there.
Need you to hold my hand.
Talking on the phone.
Anyway! Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're about 1 second behind yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, no, what are we going to do? We'll be on the podcast without a 1 second delay. We won't be stepping on each other. No! Okay, say nothing.
Nothing.
All right, where's this turbocharger? Well, I'm heading back to the truck then. All righty.
So, after you plug in, we need you to give the disclaimer, since you're our legal technician.
Okay, go ahead. You give the disclaimer because you wrote it up.
I didn't write it up.
What? Oh, no. All right. Nobody else's in any radio program that plays this is not responsible for our thoughts. If we interview anybody, their opinions are their own as well. We're not trying to force anybody to change their lifestyle or whatever, even though they might, maybe should.
This is for entertainment and educational purposes only.
Yes, it's for educational and entertainment purposes only.
We are not animals.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're not animals. We're not men or other animals. We are men made in God's image. All right, looks like I got a turbocharger here. Let's see. I'm at 12%. I've gone down 1% since I left the truck.
We are also the sovereign people. We are not citizens.
Yeah. Well, I might be a citizen of heaven, but I am not.
We are the sovereign people, and we believe in and subscribe to a de jure government, not a de facto government.
Hey, I hear the echo factor coming up the stairs.
Echo factor coming up the stairs, 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 stairs. Echo. Echo, 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 echo.
All right, so I got these sugar wafer cookies that do not have high fructose corn syrup in them. They got red dye numbers 40 and 3 and blue, I don't know what number that is. Blue number 1. Woo! They're brown cookies. They've got blue number 1 in them.
Well,
yeah,
yeah.
I think somebody better mute their mic.
You can't. There is no brown number, whatever. You got to use blue and red to make black.
I thought this one goes so far out, okay? No, it's because
one of us probably needs to hang up. Or turn their volume down so that it doesn't come back. I can do that. Maybe I can't.
All right, unmute yourself.
Hang up.
Oh, wait, I just muted myself now. Are we getting echo?
Echo.
No, we're not getting echo. Because I turned my volume all the way down.
Okay.
I can hear myself.
Yeah, and I muted my mic. So I'm probably talking through yours.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. His phone is picking me up from a good 5 feet away.
Same phone. It's yours.
Okay. It's a little confusing because my voice is about 1 second away.
Anyway, so
I brought these wonderful sugar cookies, sugar wafer cookies to spread sugar crumbs all over Joe's house. So he'll be attacked by ants and roaches and...
Joe, are you mentioning old age now?
Uh-oh.
Joe Mama.
Where is Joe Mama's house?
Joe Mama's in the house! So what was the topic again? I forgot.
I don't know that we had one.
Oh, hair sheep. Shedding sheep
or hair sheep. Yeah, I looked up some of them, and I came up with some conclusions, but I'm by no means any expert, so my conclusions probably don't mean squat.
Well,
I do know from my goats, you know, from looking up goats, Kikos were raised in the same environment, altitude, whatever, as Missouri. That's the part of New Zealand they came from, right? So using that same general theory, I was looking at the hair sheep and seeing which ones came from this general area.
The same climate zone.
Yeah, same climate. There we go. Thank you.
Plug.
You're looking for a plug. Joe's being real quiet because he doesn't want to be on the podcast, even though he wanted us at his house.
Sheep.
All right. Anyway, back to sheep. All right. So there's St. Croix, and those come from the Virgin Islands.
Right here.
And then Barbados, I guess they came from Barbados, whatever. Anyway, I looked them up. They're the Caribbean. They're further south than the St. Croix. Right. But they brought the Barbados to America. They brought the St. Croix to America. They crossbred the Barbados with this other sheep that came from an island off of France, which is closer to our climate. And actually, the locals misidentify it. They'll have an American black belly. And they'll, I'm distracted because we're being shown firearm type technology that's classified.
It's not that classified. It's just classified because we're not talking about it.
Yeah.
You want one?
Hey, you want a minute?
All right, anyway.
We're not supposed to talk about what other people have.
So the...
there are no guns. It's a gun-free zone.
It's a gun-free zone. We're anti-gun.
So the blackberry, the black belly, American black belly, was derived from crossbreeding the Barbados black belly with this other sheep from France. And the sheep from France was closer to our climate. All right, and so we could try it, but it's going to be confusing.
Give us feedback.
Yeah, it will. It will give us feedback, actually. It's confusing enough just hearing the faint sound echoing.
Let's turn the volume all the way down.
I can't turn it down any further.
Try it.
Yeah. Well, let's do this. I'm going to set this down here. Basically, all the sounds we hear, we're hearing everything that's on the podcast. We don't need the podcast to play to us. If they call, then we'll need to hear them.
Oh, you'll know when they come in?
And probably I should be wearing an earbud, or somebody should be wearing an earbud.
Well, I could put this in speakers.
Yeah, but then we're going to have echo factor.
No, if you put it in there somewhere.
Well, but then David can't hear.
Yeah, well, if somebody calls in, we'll hear them calling in.
You'll hear a beep in?
Okay. Yeah.
Why am I even on here? Why don't we just use your phone?
All right, let's do that.
Doesn't even make sense.
Sorry for the silence, folks, because I forgot to unmute my mic when Kano turned his off. Okay. So, if we have a conference call coming in, somebody can now actually talk to us. Now I got the call volume all the way up, I'll hear you. Yay! Feel free to call in.
Yeah! Phone number is 563-999-2010. Again, 563-999-2010. Extension, 526-012. Again, 256-012.
All righty. Okay, so my disjointed explanation. Okay, the sheep that the Barbados black bellies were crossed with is, I'm going to murder this name, called a mouflon. And apparently they originated in an island off of France. And apparently also somebody in Texas decided to import them, and they're doing well in Texas without being crossbred. So they're doing so well, they're hunting them down.
Are they getting too populated?
Yeah, they took over. they went wild.
What's your cookie there that you brought? Oh, okay.
All right, anyway, so I'm thinking the American black belly is the way to go, all right, after looking at the various ones. And they'll be easy to identify that they're American black belly as opposed to Barbados black belly, because apparently Barbados black belly do not have horns. And the American ones do. But
yay for the Americans!
But the people selling the American ones don't know the difference, and so they call the American black bellies Barbados. So,
there you go. The reason we settled on, one of the reasons we settled on that besides the climate zone is that they're also smaller sheep. And most of our animals are going to be smaller, miniature-type animals. The goats are small goats. The pigs that we're going to raise are going to be small pigs. Could potentially be pet pigs. And et cetera.
So you don't get crumbs all over.
This is a dirty plate.
My plate. I didn't get a dirty plate. I was going to use that one.
Right. You gave me a dirty glass last night.
Hey. It's personal. You're putting this on the...
You're all over the podcast.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah. I didn't know you needed it.
I'm good. I don't need one.
No, wait a
minute. I'm not messy like David.
David. It's clean plate. Go ahead.
Right.
All righty.
Thank you.
Okay, so what else?
Yeah, just got all sorts of strange sounds going on around here. Computers and things like that making... Oh, no computers here.
Oh, yeah. No computers here.
Well, let's see now. Yeah, we looked at Katahdins.
Just my computer, but I'm taking it with me.
Katahdins are supposed to be low maintenance. Let's see, where they're from. Oh, these were right up in Maine. And a little bit far south, so I figure it might be a bit cold for them. The Katahdins. Because Maine's a cold state.
Right.
So.
You mean it'd be too warm?
It'd be too warm, yeah. It'd be too warm here.
Nope.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Thank you.
I can give you a glass. We'll try that look.
That's me now.
Hold my phone when I do video chat.
Yay.
That's cool. Looks pretty good.
That's me now. Oh, I lost my other notes. Oh, well.
That's weird. My internet's not working.
Here we go. Yeah, oh. Now, Kano sent me this link. 5 easy hair sheet breeds you won't ever have to shear. Okay? And that's where we got our list from. They have Croy, Katahdin, Barbados Black Belly, American Black Belly, and Droper. And the Droper is the only one I haven't looked up yet, actually. So let me do that right now.
Thank you.
Also, you'll be playing the music from your any videos you play. So we're looking up Droper to see where they came from.
Clean glasses. I've got clean glasses. Look here.
They've got goldfish in them.
Yeah. If you want one, we got
Let's see now. Hey, it is charging. I'm at 22% now. I've gained 10% since we started.
Is that a turbo charger or what?
Hey, where'd you get this?
That's coming off my phone.
Oh.
That's not coming off my phone to get this. Since I didn't fix that virtual.
Yeah, well, the charger I got with my phone that my phone insists on me using every time, my phone tells me that it's
underpowered.
It's underpowered and it's inappropriate, and go get the one it originally came with. Well, that's the one I was using.
Mm-hmm. Is there any caps or dashes or numbers?
1 Joe Cool. Four letters. Number 1. So cool.
Tried that.
All one word, all one no spaces.
Now, you do know that everybody in the United States and around the world that's listening to this podcast will now be able to log in to your Wi-Fi speaker.
Well, I changed it every day, don't that.
Plus, they don't know who he is or where he is.
Well, no one is.
He must have changed it last Thursday because it's not so cool anymore. Maybe it's Joe Mama.
All right, you guys talk. I'm going to go get my my properly ionized water and such.
Oh. Okay.
Be right back.
Is that what you did?
What did you do? No. What did you knock off?
Magazine's ogling.
Oh,
did I read it?
That's right. Okay.
I got it. I see it.
Try no passport. Maybe I don't have no passport on it. Does it come up 5.5G, 5.5.06?
Yeah.
Is there no password?
It says it's asking for a password.
There we go.
Moving to the country, believe me, I'll teach you. Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches.
I have to turn your clicker that off. Is that the right one? I thought we
trying that one now because it's not working. That'd be whitefish or
I guess imitation sheep would be goat, right? Oh no, it's the other white meat.
Okay, the droper is a South African mutton bred breed. Mutton breed.
Yes, mutton.
South Africa. What's the zone in South Africa?
What? Hang on a second. What is the zone? Temperature for South Africa. Probably a lot hotter than it is here.
Well, I don't think so. Because, you know, the next step from there is...
Yeah, we're up there with Northern Africa and Europe.
Northern Africa? Northern Africa is the equator.
South Africa is...
Like New Zealand.
Thanks. Oh, that's right, because once you go past the equator, it starts getting colder again.
Yeah, that was my point.
Zone 6.
Zone 6. So maybe a Dorper or Groper or however you pronounce that. D-O-R-P-E-R.
Yeah, but how big did they get?
I don't know.
It says still on there.
On the original site? Okay.
I think it's too big. Well, I didn't look at them.
Yeah.
But if you want something that's going to be a bigger sheep, that might work.
Well, that's true.
We want smaller sheep.
I don't know if we want smaller sheep.
Why?
Because goats kill sheep. That's one of the problems that John had. Apparently, Ian had put some of his goats in with the sheep, and the goats were killing sheep. But when I put my goats in with the same sheep, when I put my goats in with the same sheep, those sheep put my goats in place. But my goats are like half size.
They checkmated them up.
Like,
that's funny.
No, you're not harassing us. Okay. Ewes average 150 pounds, rams 250.
Maybe that was the problem. Okay. Sheep can't handle copper. The goats can't.
Well,
maybe the feed that he was feeding goats killing sheep.
Well, these same goats killed a llama. Pinned its head to the ground and suffocated it to death.
Oh, he had to get rid of that.
So, Dorpers. Okay.
Maybe it was the kind of goat that he had.
Yeah, it's the, they were larger. They're Kiko. So, if you put larger sheep with smaller goats, the sheep can handle. That's him. Okay, Droppers. Or Dorpers, or however. It doesn't say how to pronounce it. I'm going to go with Dorpers. Okay. Last but not least is the Dorpers. Dorpers are another commercial-type hair sheep and differ from other breeds in that they do not have woolly hair. Though they don't require any shearing, this breed is well known for being excellent moms and producing lambs that grow quickly. They are attractive to look at and also do well in pretty much any weather. Like many hair sheep, they are disease resistant, and though they have more of a woolly hair, they don't suffer from health issues related to true woolly sheep breeds. Like the Katahdins, the Dorper is a large sheep. Ewes average 150 pounds, and rams can reach more than 250 pounds. All right, so yeah, they're one of the larger ones, which is probably why you reject them.
Yeah. Goat and sheep won't mix, will they?
No, they can't crossbreed. No such things as geeps and shoats.
Apparently, there are such things as geeps.
Okay.
It's a hybrid.
A hybrid of what?
Goat and sheep.
Okay, I think that might be a fiction, but I won't deny this, that it's totally possible, but
among my friends has always been a joke. Among my other friends.
Right. Well, let's see here.
Or is this a GMO?
Well, basically, a hybrid.
Right. Well, a hybrid isn't necessarily a GMO.
It might be a mule.
Hybrid goat sheep. Well, apparently they've done it in Ireland.
Yeah. Well, I'm about to play it for you. Are you on care2.com?
I'm on Google still, looking at all the different links that came up.
Care2.com is where I'm at right now. And you're talking about...
go ahead and read it. Or play it, or...
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Because I can get my thing to work.
Well, somebody talk. Go ahead and talk, Joe.
He's too busy laughing.
I'm looking at this stuff on the internet over. It's pretty good. It's pretty kind of...
Right. Pretty here we go. I have questions for you.
April 12th, 2014. About Megan. Follow Megan at @NJGuffyMM. Recently, the geek, goat sheep hybrid, pictured above was born on Paddy Murphy's farm in County Kildare, Ireland. This is a very rare occurrence in nature and results when a male goat mates with a female sheep. Sheep usually aren't a scared, but this little fellow is reported to be in excellent health and behaving rambunctiously. The biology. In simple terms, animal hybrids are the result of sexual reproduction between different species. Theoretically, different species cannot successfully breed, but occasionally this does happen in nature. When it does, the offspring are almost always infertile. This is exemplified through the common mule. A mule is the offspring of a horse and donkey. They are sterile and cannot reproduce. Successful sexual reproduction ordinarily requires the pairing of an equal number of chromosomes from each parent. Humans have 26 chromosomes in each cell, half inherited from mom and half from dad. Each animal species has a different number of chromosomes. For example, a horse has 64 and a donkey has 62. The product of a horse and a donkey, commonly known as a mule or hinny, has 63 chromosomes. Most hybrid animals have an uneven number of chromosomes, which will usually result in infertility. Without an even number of chromosomes, the genes cannot pair up properly. Love this. Never miss another story. Why are sheep so rare? Sheep have 60 chromosomes and goats have 54. A geek could have any variance between the two. In 2000, a geek was born in Botswana with 57 chromosomes and was found to be infertile yet possessed an active libido. In 1990, a goat-sheep hybrid was born in New Zealand. That geek also has 57 chromosomes and was infertile when mated with a ram. The newly born Irish geek has not yet been genetically tested. A geek is the result of sexual reproduction between a goat and a sheep. This should not be confused with a goat-sheep chimera, which is the creation of a genetically manipulated embryo using goat and sheep DNA. Other hybrid animals. Since a geek is so rare, the question pops up, what other strange pairings exist? Here are some. Donkey, photo credit, Wikimedia Commons. Zebroid's day donkey is part zebra and donkey, while a zorse is a zebra and a horse. A pony is a zebra and a pony. Bovid hybrid AB follow is a cross between the American bison and domestic cattle. Boy wool. Photo credit. Wikimedia Commons. Canid hybrids, many combinations can be found among canine creatures. Toy dogs are the offspring of a male coyote and a female domestic dog. Boy wolves are part coyote and wolf. So far, only known to occur in captivity is hybrids of jackals and dogs. Wolf-dog hybrids are controversial because their behavior is considered to be too wild to be domesticated. Zhao Yong, photo credit, Wikimedia Commons. Felid hybrid a liger is created by a male lion and a female tiger, while a tigon is the product of a male tiger and a female lion. A BL lioness is the mating of a bobcat and a lynx. A Bengal cat is the product of a small wild leopard cat and a domestic cat. A leopon is a leopard and a lion. Zhao Yongs are jaguar and lion. Wolfen, photo credit, Wikimedia Commons. Wolfin, this extremely rare hybrid is between a male false killer whale and a female bottlenose dolphin. Growler bear, photo credit, Wikimedia Commons. Growler bear, a cross of a grizzly bear and a polar bear, occurs rarely in nature due to the distinctly different habitats of both. Back to the Irish geese. No news on what Murphy may name the young geese. In addition to his ranch, he owns and operates Murphy S.P.U.B. Murphy said his customers have had a few laughs over the mobile phone photos of the young hybrid. He has his dad-ass coloring and is starting to grow horns. Murphy describes him as a goat, trapped in a lamb-ass body. His mom treats him just like a little lamb, but her naturally slower gait makes it a challenge for her to keep up with his childlike curiosity and antics.
So it happened.
Yeah, but it's rare, and usually they...
It's basically a mule.
Yeah.
So.
But I found that by looking up mixing goat sheep together, but I was actually talking about mixing...
Yeah, we were talking about putting them together in a herd. And it is typical to put them together in a herd.
Here it is.
Here's somebody selling them.
What, geese?
Yeah.
They're actual genetically mutated hybrids. Because they said in that article that there are people creating them in their lab. But that's different.
Okay, now this is a listing of people selling them. This guy wants $150,000.
Well, as rare as they are, I would too.
It's a 2-year-old female.
Sheep goat.
Half Boer goat, half Barbados sheep.
Can I keep goats and sheep?
Female.
Goats and sheep are a very common beginner animal when one is looking to get into raising livestock for the homestead. Whether you are raising livestock for meat, milk, or wool/fiber, both goats and sheep have something to offer. Many people will begin their livestock venture with either a few goats or a few sheep, but further down the line, they decide they would like to add goats to their farm if they only have sheep, or vice versa. For many, it is unclear whether those two species can be raised together, sharing the same shelter, same pasture, same feed, etc. Well, the good news is, it is very easy to keep these species together just as long as a few precautions are followed. The most important difference between goats and sheep is their nutritional needs. These needs are almost identical except for one very important thing. Goats require a copper supplement, whereas sheep do not. In fact, copper is toxic to sheep. If a sheep receives too much copper over time, it can be fatal. Most of the uncertainty of keeping these animals together comes from this one nutritional difference between the species. Fortunately, this nutritional difference is easy to work around. There are two options here. One, both species are fed a general feed that is without copper. This can be an all-stock feed, a sweet horse feed. Many feed stores even offer a sheep and goat feed. The latter type of feed would be best. The general all-species mineral can also be fed alongside these types of feed. The only type of feed/mineral that cannot be fed to both species is a goat-specific feed or cattle-specific feed because these both have added copper that is not good for the sheep. If you go this route, many times the goats will not be receiving the proper amount of copper in their diet. This requires that the goats be supplemented with copper. A copper bolus is the most common and effective way of supplementing goats with copper. Two, the second option is keeping both species together but buying species-specific feed and mineral and feeding them separately at feeding time. This can work depending on your setup, but if goats and sheep are fed in the same area, there is a good chance they will end up in each other as feed. Your option one is really the best option. All other aspects of feeding and raising goats are very similar. They both require a good quality hay. An orchard grass mix is best for both species. An alfalfa mix could be supplemented during lactation, but it is not recommended to give alfalfa to sheep and goats that are pregnant as it could cause the kids/lambs to grow too fast inside the mom and cause labor problems. Now that you understand their nutritional needs, here are a few other things to know about keeping goats and sheep together. Their shelter requirements are the same. Both species require a three-sided shelter at the very least. Goats dislike rain and just generally getting wet, much more than sheep do, so keep this in mind when providing shelter. It should be adequate enough that both species can stay dry no matter what the season or the weather. Goats and hair sheep don't require much in the way of grooming. Angora goats and wool sheep require quite a bit more when it comes to grooming. Both of those woolier breeds will need to be sheared during the spring and sometimes the fall as well. When it comes to hoof trimming, goats will require more frequent trimming than sheep. Goat hooves are also a bit softer than sheep hooves, so be aware of this when trimming. It can take some adjusting when moving from one species to the next. Goats are browsers and they prefer to eat bushes, tall weeds, and low-hanging tree branches before they will turn their attention to grass and short weeds. Sheep are grazers who prefer grass, corn, or short weeds to bushes, but they will definitely investigate low bushes and low-hanging tree branches. They are just less inclined to spend as much of their time doing that as goats will. When it comes to breeding, goats and sheep have about a 5-month gestation, and depending on the breed of goat or sheep, they will either breed year-round or seasonally. Sheep and goats that breed seasonally generally come into heat during the fall in order to lamb or kid in the spring. Knowing this, it would be easy to pick a mixed group of doves and ewes and breed them all at the same time if you have access to a ram and buck. When breeding, it is not recommended to throw both a ram and buck into a mixed flock of ewes and as this could cause a lot of stress and confusion in the herd. When it comes time to breed, animals should be split into species-specific herds with the right male thrown in, or doves and ewes should be taken to the buck or ram for a visit. It is also not recommended to keep bucks and rams together when they are not being used for a breeding. A ram can seriously injure a buck, especially during rut. Rams tend to be stronger than bucks with stronger skulls, and they have been known to kill bucks with just one headbutt. Bucks also like to rear up when headbutting, whereas rams like to ram in a straight line. This usually ends up with the buck receives a serious blow to their abdomen, which can be fatal. So it is important to keep the males of these species separate. The last thing I would like to mention is that both goats and sheep are very social animals. Some people sometimes just want to start out with one animal just to get their feet wet. You cannot keep a lone goat or sheep. It will be a very happy and loud animal no matter how much attention you can give it. You must keep at least two. Similarly, it is not recommended to have only one of each species kept together. Two goats and two sheep of the same sex are the minimum one should have when keeping these species together. While sheep can bond to goats and vice versa, they will create a much stronger bond with their own species because that is who they are most comfortable with. As someone with a mixed herd, I can tell you that in a more confined space, she and Ghost will mingle pretty regularly, but no matter how long they have been together, when let out into the open, they will find the ones that look most like them and stick with them. If that's what is natural to them. So if you are thinking of adding either one species or the other to your herd, make sure whatever you are adding has a companion of the same species to bond with, or they will be very unhappy in the long run. If one keeps all of these factors in mind and uses a bit of common sense for anything not covered here, then one can be very successful in raising sheep and goats together.
So we plan on actually keeping them apart anyway, so...
Right. So don't let the bucks from the sheep and the goat near each other.
Right. Especially during mating season.
Right.
Right.
So one's a copper eater and the other's a...
non-copper eater.
Yeah.
So it would be best to let the goats go in front of the sheep because the goats will eat the copper.
Right.
And then there won't be any copper left for the sheep to eat. It still would be very little.
Apparently Shirley changed her mind. It's too late. They're heading to bed. They'll see us later. So I said goodnight.
What are you going to go wild when you got dinner or what?
Well, they invited us. And we told them we're doing the podcast. And they said, well, how long is the podcast? So I told them. And they said, well, you're welcome to come after. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, we figured it's fine. They go to bed early.
Well, sometimes they go to bed at 8 or 9. Sometimes they go to bed at 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of how much bills done for the day and how tired they start.
Yep. Yep.
Raising goats and sheep together. Both goats and sheep are the mostly raised and common farm animals. Both are smaller-sized ruminant animals and provide milk, meat, and wool. You can raise them for the purpose of producing milk, meat, wool, or cleaning brush and fields of vegetation. But you might ask, is it okay raising goats and sheep together? Answer is yes in some cases, especially if you raise a few number of goats and sheep together. But a big no, if you raise them for commercial production purpose. Also, raising goats and sheep together requires special care and consideration. Goats and sheep can be raised together, as long as the goats are disbudded and the sheep are full. Both goats and sheep are member of Bovidae family and Caprini subfamily, so they have lots of physiology in common. Both are docile and suitable for commercial production purpose. However, read more about raising goats and sheep together. Feeding. Feeding is the most important part of raising any farm animal. In case of raising goats and sheep together, you can allow them to graze in the same pasture. Goats are browsers and they love grass, brush, leaves, trees, and shrubs. And sheep are grazers and prefer grass and broad-leaved plants. Usually none of them will compete for the same food. But the most important part to consider while raising goats and sheep together is the amount of different minerals they require. Goats and sheep require mineral supplements along with quality hay, forage, or grain in order to ensure both of them are getting the necessary nutrients. The main difference in supplemental minerals between these two animals is copper. Goats require a mineral supplement containing copper, but too much copper can be fatal for sheep. Sheep usually acquire necessary minerals through foraging. So in case of raising goats and sheep together, it is a good idea to separate their feed and feeding locations. Because different feeding locations limit the risk of sheep ingesting too much copper, and ensure goats are getting sufficient amounts of copper. Raising goats and sheep together. Goat and sheep farming. Goats and sheep. Shelter and fencing. For keeping your goats and sheep safe, you have to make suitable shelter and strong fence, like keeping other livestock animals. Goats are very curious animals and usually climb and explore. But sheep are more likely to respect fencing around a farm or pasture. Goats are famous as an expert escape artist. So you have to make a strong fence based on their nature. The fence also has to be suitable enough for keeping the goats and sheep inside and all types of predators outside.
Sure.
You can make woven or net wire fencing.
No.
But barbed wire fences are not recommended and not suitable for raising goats and sheep together. Usually 1 acre of pasture is adequate for keeping a small group of goats and sheep. Keep the goats and sheep together inside a pen or loft if pasture is not available. Also provide adequate shelter for both of your goats and sheep. Also, goats and sheep need shelter for different reasons. Goats love to stay dry and require shelters during rainy and excessive cold seasons. But sheep require shelter in hot days during summer season. Foraging. Goats are browsers and are such animals that eat almost everything which they find edible in front of them. But in case of foraging, they are actually picky eaters. They like leaves, vines, twigs, shrubs, etc. On the other hand, sheep are grazers and like grass and clover. Interactions and horns. Sheep don't have any horns, but goats have horns. You have to be careful while keeping fold animals with horned animals. Both goats and sheep are social animals and they can compete with each other for a spot in the flock or herd. You can reduce the risk of serious injury to your sheep by disputting or removing horns of your goats. You can also keep lambs and kids with their mom in a separate pen for avoiding injury risks from other goats or sheep. D. The offspring produced by breeding of goat and sheep or sheep and goats is known as D. Goats and sheep are totally different species. Sheep have 54 chromosomes and goats have 60. Mating between these two animals is rare, but possible. Deeps are a result of this unnatural mating. Deeps are often diapers or are infertile. So, it is a good idea to keep the bucks and rams separated from the herd, especially during breeding season. And keeping the females and males separate is essential for avoiding unplanned mating, whether you are raising goats and sheep together or alone. What are you thinking now? Raising goats and sheep together is pretty hardy, right? Why raising them together? Keep either goats or sheep, or keep them separate from each other for specific production purpose. That is good.
So, you chuckled when she said that sheep don't have horns.
Yeah.
Is it just the rams that have horns, or do females have horns too?
Some females have horns.
Okay.
It's just,
so
it's like goats. Male goats will have more pronounced and bigger horns.
Right.
Male sheep have more pronounced and bigger horns. I've seen female sheep, they've got, some of them have horns. Most of John's didn't, but a few of them did.
Okay.
So... And the Barbados black belly, they were hornless.
Right.
But the American black belly was crossed with this Mouffon or Mouffon, whatever, this other one from France. The one from France, the wild ones from France, they had horns.
Right.
So.
Okay.
How to raise sheep and goats together. Goats and sheep are small ruminant animals. Both provide meat, tails, and wool. Both clear brush and fields of vegetation. They're both of the Caprididae subfamily of the bovine family, so they have lots of physiology in common. They forage in different ways and prefer different types of vegetation. Many small farm operators keep both. But raising sheep and goats together requires special consideration. Sponsored link. 5 dating sites that work. Join today and see who is out there. www.tlt1zbestdatingsite.
What is this? Is this a sheep dating site or something?
I don't know. I'll go check that out.
When raising goats and sheep together, it's the different minerals they require. In addition to quality forage, hay, or grain, fruits and sheep require mineral supplements in order to ensure they are getting the necessary nutrients. The big difference between goats and sheep is the mineral copper. For sheep, too much copper can be fatal. They acquire all they need through foraging. However, goats do not and require a mineral supplement containing copper. When raising sheep and goats together, separate feeding locations limits the risk of sheep ingesting too much copper. Foraging. Goats are often referred to as animals that will eat everything, including tin cans. However, this is not the case, and when it comes to foraging, they are actually picky eaters. Goats prefer leaves, twigs, vines, and shrubs, with favorites being blackberries and poison ivy. Goats are known as browsers, looking for specific things to eat. Sheep, on the other hand, are grazers who prefer grass and clover. Interactions and horns. Most goats have horns, while sheep do not. As social animals that compete for a spot in the herd or flock, use care when keeping horned animals with bold animals. Disbudding, or removing horns, can help reduce the risk of serious injury to sheep. Confine lambs and kids to separate pens with their mothers to avoid injury risks from older sheep and goats. Adequate shelter and fencing. As with any livestock, shelter and reliable fencing is necessary for both sheep and goats. While sheep are more likely to respect fencing, goats are curious animals who like to climb and explore. They are known as escape artists, so it is essential to provide fencing targeted to their behavior. Provide some form of shelter where the animals can escape the elements. Sheep need shaded areas to escape the summer heat, while goats are not fond of rain and need somewhere to go to stay dry. Keep goat rams and bucks separate from the herd during breeding season. Whether raising goats and sheep alone or together, keeping the males and females separate is essential to avoid unplanned mating. Raising sheep and goats together creates another concern. Even though sheep and goats are different species, goats have 60 chromosomes and sheep have 54 mating together is possible, though rare. The offspring, known as sheep, often die at birth or are infertile.
So basically that one was almost identical to the previous one.
Right.
But there was some variation. But still, basically what they're saying is...
They stole it from Wiki and then changed it for their needs.
Probably. What they're saying is the main issue is the ram and the buck will ram each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll see each other's competition. Because I'm sure they'll mate, or at least try to mate, with
right.
all the females, regardless.
Yeah, it's one big herd.
Yeah.
It's mine, not yours. No, it's mine, not yours.
Right.
They don't sit there and go, it.
Yeah, they don't see the differences in their species.
Yeah, not sufficiently.
Not sufficiently, yeah. The rams don't, or the males don't. They're just like, hey, Poo-tang! I don't care what you look like. So, yeah. So, let the goats go ahead. Because we talked to a friend of ours, and he knows somebody who had a bunch of sheep, and he let them out. They let them out in this field, and there was this one kind of plant growing.
Right. The one I call horse mint.
And it has a lot of copper in it.
I think so.
And all their sheep died.
Yeah. Okay.
But if they would have had goat and sheep together, the goat would have probably, if they had let the goats out first.
The goats probably would have eaten it.
Before the sheep did.
Yep.
And then the goat would have been healthy and the sheep would have been healthy because they'd been eating elephants.
Yeah, because goats are browsers. They tend to eat upward.
Right.
And sheep are grazers. They tend to eat downward. So my goats tend to graze.
That's because they're miniatures.
Yeah. K can't reach high enough.
Yeah. They try, though. I've seen it.
Oh, yeah. They'll knock down small trees and eat them up, which is going to be important to keep in mind when we start putting in our... my $100 worth of blackberries I'm buying.
Well, that's why we put a fence.
No, I'm getting primate king, blackberry, thorn one.
And the other thing too is, it's almost the right season to where we will be leaving them in their pens more. They won't be out running around.
Yeah.
As much. We let them out because...
they need food.
They need food, and they pretty much graze their yard.
Yep.
Soon stuff's going to be growing.
Well, stuff's already growing, actually. They're actually more and more happy inside their yard. But I still want to turn them loose.
But once we start growing things that don't have a fence around it...
yeah.
We're not going to be able to turn it loose.
Well, we just won't grow things without a fence, right?
Yep. Fortunately, we already have stuff growing without a fence around it.
That's true, we do. Yeah, they might be eating your cat trees. Because things are starting to sprout now. The roses are starting to sprout leaves.
Right.
And some of the blackberries are starting to sprout leaves.
So we need to put some cattle panels around them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or something. They've been hanging out in that yard.
They love that place.
Yeah.
They ate all the sorrel and all the dock. They ate it all. They loved the dock. They went through and ate every last bit of it.
Want some more coffee?
Oh!
I don't know, that decaf made me pretty sleepy.
Yeah. That pretty probably did. I couldn't stay away.
I'm hoping you guys are ready. You've been awake all night.
Right.
Well, then why didn't you do that? Why'd you mess us up that way?
I'll let you guys open them.
Can I keep those in shape together?
Open the box.
By Antonio Zamora, submitted on September 7, 2012. Recommend article, comments, print article. Expert author Antonio Padilla. Goats and sheep are a very common beginner animal when one is looking to get into raising livestock for the homestead. Whether you are raising livestock for meat, milk, or wool/fiber, both goats and sheep have something to offer. Many people will begin their livestock venture with either a few goats or a few sheep, but further down the line, they decide they would like to add goats to their farm if they only have sheep or vice versa. For many, it is unclear whether those two species can be raised together, sharing the same shelter, same pasture, same feed, etc. Well, the good news is, it is very easy to keep these species together just as long as a few precautions are followed. The most important difference between goats and sheep is their nutritional needs. These needs are almost identical except for one very important thing. Goats require a copper supplement, whereas sheep do not. In fact, copper is toxic to sheep. If a sheep receives too much copper over time, it can be fatal. Most of the uncertainty of keeping these animals together comes from this one nutritional difference between the species. Fortunately, this nutritional difference is easy to work around. There are two options here. One, both species are fed a general feed that is without copper. This can be an all-stock feed, a sweet horse feed. Many feed stores even offer a sheep and goat feed. The latter type of feed would be best. The general all-species mineral can also be fed alongside these types of feed. The only type of feed/mineral that cannot be fed to both species is a goat-specific feed or cattle-specific feed because these both have added copper that is not good for the sheep. If you go this route, many times the goats will not be receiving the proper amount of copper in their diet. This requires that the goats be supplemented with copper. A copper bolus is the most common and effective way of supplementing goats with copper. The second option is keeping both species together but buying species-specific feed and mineral and feeding them separately at feeding time. This can work depending on your setup, but if goats and sheep are fed in the same area, there is a good chance they will end up in each other's feed, so option one is really the best option. All other aspects of feeding and raising goats are very similar. They both require a good quality hay. An orchard grass mix is best for both species. An alfalfa mix could be supplemented during lactation, but it is not recommended to give alfalfa to sheep and goats that are pregnant, as it could cause the kids/lambs to grow too fast inside the mom and cause labor problems. Now that you understand their nutritional needs, here are a few other things to know about keeping goats and sheep together. Their shelter requirements are the same. Both species require a three-sided shelter at the very least. Goats dislike rain and just generally getting wet, much more than sheep do, so keep this in mind when providing shelter. It should be adequate enough that both species can stay dry, no matter what season or the weather.
These are half a packet.
Goats and sheep don't require much in the way of grooming. Angora goats and wool sheep require quite a bit more when it comes to grooming. Both of those woolier breeds will need to be sheared during the spring and sometimes the fall as well. When it comes to hoof trimming, goats will require more frequent trimming than sheep. Goat hooves are also a bit softer than sheep hooves, so be aware of this when trimming. It can take some adjusting when moving from one species to the next. Goats are browsers and they prefer to eat bushes, tall weeds, and low-hanging tree branches before they will turn their attention to grass and short weeds. Sheep are grazers who prefer grass, corn, or short weeds to bushes, but they will definitely investigate low bushes and low-hanging tree branches. They are just less inclined to spend as much of their time doing that as goats will. When it comes to breeding, goats and sheep have about a 5-month gestation, and depending on the breed of goat or sheep, they will either breed year-round or seasonally. Sheep and goats that breed seasonally generally come into heat during the fall in order to lamb a kid in the spring. Knowing this, it would be easy to keep a mixed group of does and ewes and breed them all at the same time if you have access to a ram and buck. When breeding, it is not recommended to throw both a ram and buck into a mixed flock of ewes, and as this could cause a lot of stress and confusion in the herd. When it comes time to breed, animals should be split into species-specific herds, with the right male thrown in, or does and ewes should be taken to the buck or ram for a visit. It is also not recommended to keep bucks and rams together when they are not being used for a breeding. A ram can seriously injure a buck, especially during rut. Rams tend to be stronger than bucks with stronger skulls, and they have been known to kill bucks with just one headbutt. Bucks also like to rear up when headbutting, whereas rams like to ram in a straight line. This usually ends up with the buck receiving a serious blow to their abdomen, which can be fatal. So it is important to keep the males of these species separate. The last thing I would like to mention is that both goats and sheep are very social animals. Some people sometimes just want to start out with one animal just to get their feet wet. You cannot keep a lone goat or sheep. It will be a very happy and loud animal, not matter how much attention you can give it. They must keep at least two. Similarly, it is not recommended to have only one of each species kept together. Two goats and two sheep of the same sex are the minimum one should have when keeping these species together. While sheep can bond to goats and vice versa, they will create a much stronger bond with their own species because that is who they are most comfortable with. As someone with a mixed herd, I can tell you that in a more confined space, sheep and goats will mingle pretty regularly, but no matter how long they have been together, when let out into the open, they will find the ones that look most like them and stick with them. It's what is natural to them. So if you are thinking of adding either one species or the other to your herd, make sure whatever you are adding has a companion of the same species to bond with, or they will be very unhappy in the long run. If one keeps all of these factors in mind and uses a bit of common sense for anything not covered here, then one can be very successful in raising sheep and goats together. For more information about raising livestock and self-sufficient living, please visit http://www.smallholderhollow.com. Article source, http://easyarticles.com/expert/Antonio_Padilla/1414061.
Yeah, it's basically the same one as we listened to a minute ago. They took the article from another website.
Yeah.
Plagiarism, huh?
Well, they gave article source. That's the legal loophole. Although I've done that with my astrology site, and this one guy threatened me for stealing his information. I'm like, dude, I'm advertising for you. You know? What's your problem? I'm like, well, fine, if you want me to advertise for you, I'll take you off my site.
Yep.
But yeah, he threatened me. I'm like, whatever, dude. So yeah. So really, it doesn't matter if they're bigger or smaller.
It is, according to that article, the goats are the ones in danger.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, the goats are the ones in danger.
But according to John's experience, it's the goats that kill sheep.
Well, we don't want to keep them together anyway.
No, bad idea.
We're going to have separate pens, and we're going to let the goats bleed.
Well, you've seen chocolate. Can you imagine if we turned her loose with pigs? How long did it take her to get used to cats? How long did it take her to get used to cats?
Oh, yeah. She's still... rammed one of our cats today because its tail rubbed against her face. It's like, ah! Bam!
It's a pretty solid.
What the hell is this hairy thing rubbing up against me?
It's a pretty solid thump, too.
Yeah, it was loud. It was like, clunk.
I'm surprised it didn't break bones.
How's that coffee, Dave? Is it any good?
Oops, yeah.
He's got peacock feathers, dude.
Sorry, you're still a podcast. I didn't say that. How's that, Dee?
Dee? Well, they know who we are.
Oh, okay.
It's a little hot. I'm going to have to let it cool down a bit.
It's a little hot. Imagine that. Hot cold?
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, this one here is copycat also, so I'm not going to play it.
Yeah, it's like three in a row all saying the same thing.
Did you get up to start out with, or did you just do them last night?
Oh, I just...
You gave me more tonight. I need more sugar.
There's the sugar right there.
True.
And so I'm...
Never mind. I got sugar right here.
Just dunk your sugar in there. There you
go. Oh! I don't know if those will dissolve, per se.
Sure they will. I'll take some vanilla.
So this coffee tastes the same as the coffee last time? It should be real coffee.
Well, there's two...
I'm not a coffee connoisseur, so therein is a problem in asking me.
Oh. Well, I thought it was last night better or what?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's probably hotter.
Is it caffeinated?
Maybe.
You gonna tell us? So I the only thing I can rely on to hype me up is the sugar.
No, it's
got sugar. Sugar! Oh, honey.
In fact, I put that other coffee up way high in the cupboard. It's like, I'm not drinking that anymore. I want to drink coffee. I want to drink caffeine. I have no idea if drinking the caffeine. Okay. Just so you know, this is what you're drinking tonight.
Oh, okay.
Tim Hortons. Smells good.
Yeah?
Yep. Real coffee from Michigan.
Michigan coffee?
Yeah. I got a little screen thing that I can pump through on this deal here rather than use a three-phase test.
What time of year do they harvest the coffee up there in Michigan?
In the summertime. During the coffee season.
During the coffee season.
See, this is kind of a screen deal with pressurized precious sugar.
Is that before or after it passes through the civet?
Oh, what?
No habla.
That cat-like creature that eats coffee beans.
fall. It's after.
After. I should have brought mine. I got a Bluetooth button.
My computer's so hard already. For me.
You're gonna need a fork to eat your coffee. Now, Coaster, those things don't have fins.
Okay.
Bathroom break commercial.
No, I gotta go. Yeah. Oh, honey. Bam, 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 bam. Oh, sugar, sugar. So, hey.
Coon, coon.
Coon, coon.
Yeah. Very friendly. The piglets will crawl up in your lap. The mamas won't freak out.
Now the Julian, they get too big?
They can.
You never know. It's like random.
Well, it might be because the breeders are a bit random about it. All right? Julians can pop out at 20 pounds. Or 65 or 100. So it's a matter of breeding impurity. If they were more strict about what they called a Julian, then you'd be sure that all Julians would be 20 pounds. You just don't find a 150-pound Chihuahua because that's not in the breed description.
Right. Okay. So when you're doing Julian pigs, you need to get to know the breeders and make sure.
You want to see the mom and pop? You'd like to see the grandma and the grandpa.
Grandmama and grandpapa.
It's like, oh, wait a minute. This was one of the grandparents? This 250-pound porker over here? No, I don't want any of your Julian.
Right. And if they won't show you mom and grandma, well, they may not have grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
But if they don't show you mom and dad, the mom and dad, then you know some stuff.
Yeah. So you want to see the herd and see the consistency. Like, okay, all their Julians are this size. So either they whack off anything that overgrow or they've done a good job of maintaining the breed. And then when they go to get a breeding animal to supplement their bloodline, you know, they're taking a chance too.
Right, they would have to do their homework on the breeder that they're getting their breeder from. The breeder they're getting their breeder from. Yeah.
That's kind of true of everything. I mean, my Nigerian dwarfs, for the most part, one line was mixed, and I don't know exactly what her parentage was because I saw her mother. And her mother, the owner didn't know if she was half Nigerian or half pygmy. And they told me what the milk goat was that she was mixed with, but I don't remember. But she's proved to be a good line. All of my goats have larger bags as a result. You know. So.
Baggy goats? Nothing like
more,
a baggy goat.
More milk.
Look at that, baggy goat.
More milk. And they're still Nigerian dwarf size, so it's, you know. Now, I wanted to get a Kiko from Ian, so I want to breed that Kiko horn into my goat.
Because you got to make sure you get a small Kiko.
Well, I got to select for small offspring. Bring me out of that mother.
Bring me out of that mother.
Yeah. And then, after they produce small, watch the horns and see if they turn the right way or not.
Right, so we have to keep those goats separate.
Well, I'd have to keep a record.
Right.
I'd have to know which goat was which. I'd have to know its parentage.
And you don't.
Well, I haven't done it yet. And I will have to separate the male from the flock in order to control that.
Right.
You can only
so
have
we may have to raise Kiko separately.
Well, I have to put one male only with the flock. So, actually, I need another male, or I need to put the extra male with Sidewinder. Because we've already confirmed that Sidewinder is just not ever going to be bred.
Right.
And if she does get bred, great, but she's...
I'll put the other male with the other male. The young buck.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you want to have it with the flock so the flock gets bred, it needs to be there.
Right.
And you can't have a goat all by itself. It has to have some sort of companion.
Right. So I put it with the young buck, the young Nigerian buck.
Or, well, if I get
and or
the Kiko I get would be female. I am not going to breed a male Kiko to my Nigerian dwarf.
You're not listening to me.
Well, it sounded like you were saying I was getting a Kiko male.
If you're going to keep a record of the offspring, you're going to have two Kikos in order to keep a record of the Kiko offspring.
Why would I need two Kikos?
Otherwise, you won't have any Kiko offspring, so you can keep track of whether or not they're big or small.
Sure, you just make sure they work.
You'll have to spend
I'm crossing the Kikos with a Nigerian dwarf.
Right. But you want to select a Kiko that has small offspring. How are you going to do that if you don't have a Kiko that's having offspring? You have to first find a Kiko that's having offspring that you can document before you can document.
I get a Kiko, I breed my Nigerian dwarf to it, and I select the offspring that come out Nigerian dwarf style.
Okay, I thought you were talking about something else.
Yeah. You're not listening to me.
You're not giving enough detail.
You're not listening to me.
You're not giving enough detail.
I don't think you're listening to me.
Oh, my.
I said that to interject a comment.
Oh, my. Terrible.
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 Somebody sent this to me.
All right.
This is the Josh Tully Show on the GCN Radio Network. But he didn't reason to stay out of Oklahoma. Yeah, stay out of Oklahoma. And if you're in Oklahoma, get out. No, I'm serious. Check this out.
I agree.
Oklahoma Highway Patrol.
Yeah.
You have all heard of civil forfeiture. We've talked about civil forfeiture on this program many times. And that's where police can seize your property and your cash without even proving you committed a crime, without a warrant, without even arresting you. They don't need nothing. They need absolutely nothing other than the suspicion that the property may be used in a crime. So past examples of this is trucking outfits telling their truck drivers, if at all possible, stay out of Kentucky. Because in Kentucky, the highway patrol there pulls over truckers. Truckers normally have a lot of cash on them to buy tires and gas and all that sort of stuff.
Told.
The police just take it. Because after all, you could buy drugs with that money. So they just take it. And you never get it back. Ever. And it's technically legal for them to do this. And it's a multi-billion dollar a year industry. There was another example of a gentleman who was leaving Las Vegas. Had a good day at the casino or whatever he was playing, heading back home to California. Nevada Highway Patrol pulls him over. He's got $50,000 on him. The cop takes the $50,000 and keeps it because, after all, you could use that to commit a crime, so we need to take it from you. The gentleman thought, ha, ha, ha. What the cop didn't know is I recorded this whole incident, and I'm going to get my money back. And the cop's response was, and, well, it's going to cost you more than $50,000 to get it back, so good luck. And this is a real thing. You can look it up, and it's odd and as weird as it sounds. Civil forfeiture is a real thing, and you will lose your property, money, whatever they decide to take from you. So why stay out of Oklahoma? Well, Oklahoma is taking it to a whole other level of stupid evil. Yeah. This is what it says from News9.com. Now, the Oklahoma Highway Patrol has a device that allows them to seize money from your bank account or your prepaid cards. It is called ERAD, the Electronic Recovery and Access to Data Machine, and the state began using the 16 of them that they just purchased already last month.
Yeah, we actually did a podcast on that part of the video previously when we were talking about RFID chips.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, on our RFID chip podcast.
Probably not a good deal, huh?
Is RFID chip? Well, no, because they can scan your RFID chip from, like, 37 feet.
And if they get an amplifier, they can do it even further.
Yeah.
If you put them in a lead sheath or something, would that help?
Do you want to test it?
Well, I don't know. They're probably going to access my account somewhere. I'm all my cards are chipped now.
That's why we punched the chip out of ours.
Yeah, we removed the chip from ours.
Well, most of them go to the grocery store, they make it put it in. Cause
not if you don't have it.
You don't have to do that. You could probably just take the cigarette lighter, whatever, cigarette and burn it real good, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you want to make sure you actually destroy the chip. Because if you break the wires, the machine still senses that you have a chip. Therefore, the chip can still be read if you have one of those waving ones. It can still be read.
It still has a chip in it, but I destroyed the wires.
But the machine still senses that there's a chip in it.
So what do you do about that?
You have to actually remove it.
I flushed it so much it broke the wires. So when I go to a car reader that requires me to use the chip, sometimes I'm there going 9 times before it finally says, okay, fine, wipe it.
How did you break the chip? Why?
Well, simply enough, I just
did a razor blade cut around the
edge. I did this.
You just flexed it enough.
Now you see the little pimple on the back side because I flexed it myself.
I took a pocket knife and removed mine.
Now,
yeah.
I'm actually waiting until I can find a radio reader.
See if it's readable.
See if it's readable. And if it is, I'll go out to the truck, I'll get my hammer and a little nail or a bolt or something, and I'll put it down against a hard surface, and it'll go, ka-ping! And I'll go back and say, now can you read it? And at some point, I'll know how much I needed to do in order to actually break the chip.
To make it non-readable.
Make
did
it
you
non-readable.
Actually cut yours out of your part?
He actually removed it, yeah. He peeled all this copper stuff off.
Yeah,
Yeah, all the...
with the ledge bite, box knife, and bumping or whatever.
Yeah, any kind of X-Acto knife or pocket knife. I just peeled the gold plating off the front and then pulled the RFID chip out.
So you had a little brown circle in the middle of a white square. Now, I suspect, though, that this copper plating is required as the antenna as well. That not only is it a reader, because, you know, there's little pins that come down and touch these in order to read the chip directly. All right, and that's what the ones where you slide it in are all about. I suspect, though, that these little copper contacts also act as an antenna, and thus the strange shape.
I don't know, because when you go to the machine, it senses that you have a chip, even though you broke the wires.
But what about yours? When you removed the chip, did it sense that there was a chip?
Nope.
So it just let you scan it?
Well, actually, I don't know, because I haven't actually got to use it yet, because I went to activate it in the machine, and I thought it wouldn't activate because I was hitting the wrong button.
Well, you probably needed the chip in order to activate it.
Well, no. I hit the wrong button. I was hitting credit card instead of checking account. And that's what messed up the whole thing. Because when I was like, that's weird. Why is it not doing it? And so then I changed the password on it. That worked. Then I tried to do a balance inquiry, and it said, no account found. I realized later the reason why I didn't do it is because I hit the wrong button. I was hitting credit card
instead of
checking. You're consistently
hitting the wrong button.
Yeah.
Brain fart!
So I got a new card, but they screwed up and put the new card to the wrong account.
Yeah, I've never done that kind of
thing. Right. So that's a big, that's a whole other mess. But we now know that you technically don't have to have the chip in the card in order to activate the card.
We'll have to find out.
We don't officially know, but we technically know.
I've got a brand new card that I haven't used. Haven't activated.
There you go. Pull the chip out and see if you can activate it.
And then if you can't, contact them and say, hey, when am I going to get my card?
Yeah.
So they said, get a new one.
Yeah, send me one without a chip in it. I don't understand you guys are putting up chips on. I don't want to.
Right. I don't want people to steal my identity.
Well, the bank told him, was it today or yesterday? Told him yesterday?
It was last week. It was during the week.
But they have to issue him with a chip in order to comply with the law.
Yep. New world order, rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines.
What?
Oh, shit. But, you know, supposedly for your security.
But it's actually not.
Yeah.
It's so that they can sell you identity theft protection.
That too.
That's why.
If your card can be read from 37 feet away, that's not secure.
Well, no, you got to ask yourself. Okay, what does the government do?
You can send a letter into them with this one. The security chips can be read from 37 feet away. I do not wish to have a card with a chip in it because it is
it's a liability.
It's lessening the security of my identity, which you guys are going to have to cover the cost of, and I demand the car without a chip.
Well, it's like those questionnaires. I forget. I wish I could remember the details from it, but it boils down to this, all right? A lot of websites, they want you to have a security question, or your credit card company wants you to have a security question, or your bank wants you to have a security question. What was the name of your first dog? All right?
Nanya.
Yeah. All right. So,
NOYB.
Yeah. Something along that line. Okay? And what it boils down to, all the additional security questions they ask, you know, phone number, mother's maiden name, all that stuff, it makes it one step easier for somebody to hack your account. Because there's all these multiple ways of accessing your account now. If you only have one way of accessing your account, a PIN number, and you're only allowed to use the PIN number in one method, that's very secure. All right? If they start asking you over the phone, like, Well, okay, what's your PIN number? No, I don't give that out over the phone. You know?
How do I know you're not a foreign agent trying to take my identity?
Yeah, I don't give that out over the phone. I don't even give that out over the phone counter. I only type it on the keypad. That's the only way I'll do it. That keeps it very secure. Or maybe you only give it over the phone.
Or
You don't type it into a keypad.
You only do it on a secure line that you know is secure, which is face-to-face.
Well, phone companies, they...
Or through their website, because you know you're on the right website. But you don't know who they are when they call you.
Well, the phone company insists on me giving me the PIN number for the phone service, and it's like, so you're telling me I cannot communicate to you about my problem with my phone without giving you the PIN number that was required in order to activate this account? Yep. Okay. After this conversation, I'm changing that PIN number to 0000. And I'm only using it in communicating with you directly on the phone.
What is that?
They don't like that. But, you know, they don't know basic security.
Right.
And so they keep adding all these things. And most people don't know basic security.
Well, yeah, because you're going to typically use the same password in different places. You start giving out your password to all these different agencies or businesses. You're giving out your password to other things too.
Oh yeah,
that's why I have three different passwords and three different variations of all three different passwords.
Well, I'm developing a method of having a separate password for every account on a website, but I don't have to memorize it for me.
Well, the best password I use is my birthday that I never forget.
Right.
Well, if only I knew mine, that'd be a great idea.
Yeah!
Here's how it works. If a trooper suspects that you have money tied to any sort of crime, the highway patrolman can scan your cards and seize the money.
All you got to do is tell them I do not understand, don't fit.
Let's say you're driving along, singing a song.
If you have permission.
And you get pulled over for speeding. You get pulled over for having a brake light out that you didn't even know was out. So do not think, well, I'm not a criminal, Josh. I don't have to worry about this stuff. No, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. So you're driving along, you have a tail light out, maybe a rock hit, who knows. Highway patrol pulls you over. He sees that you have a Josh Tully bumper sticker and a 3% bumper sticker and I love Ron Paul hanging from your rearview mirror or whatever. That just tips him over the edge. He's a little upset. Ma'am, can you step out of the car, please? Yes, officer, what's going on? Well, ma'am, this vehicle matches a suspicious vehicle report we had. It has four doors, and there was a four-door vehicle that...
You know, it's just like the local sheriff here in town. Somebody reported that you were doing blah, 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 and so I'm pulling you over in suspicion of blah, 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 and they didn't do anything.
Yeah, well, she's saying nonsense. This is during... This is not this year. I didn't see it this year, but the year before at the
Walnut
Festival.
Yeah.
This female cop in an unmarked sheriff's vehicle, the same as the other sheriff's vehicle, but it was unmarked. I saw her pull over three people, and she said the exact same thing except with slight variation. Yeah, there's been reports of your license, of somebody driving around with their license plate out, and you fit the description, and nobody's going to report license plate out. Nobody's going to report out headlights during the day, but she said that also. All right? And she issued them a ticket.
They were ordered.
All right? They're parking where everybody else is parking, but she pulls them over and harasses them and issues them a ticket. So now these people visiting the Walnut Festival have to go to the courthouse later on sometime in the week or next month or whatever. And they might not even be from Stockton.
But they may have to pay a visitor sign up.
Do you want tourists to come to Stockton, or do you want to drive them away? She is clearly hired by the county of Cedar for the purposes of doing this extortion.
Generating income.
And she's giving out bullshit. And it's why I was very tempted to approach her and call her on it.
Actually, what we should do is do a pub
chicken. I'm chicken. I did a
videotape to put it on YouTube.
Yeah. That or type up a letter, make a public notice, put it on all the bulletin boards.
Mm-hmm.
That costs money, though, don't it?
They don't have to wait on it, enormously. They don't know who they are.
Okay.
They don't have to. You know, they don't have to. I mean, you got to. I mean, as long as you're not customer prepared, if you're just doing something reasonable, you want to say, "I'd like to print this article up." What's your name? Oh, anonymous.
Yeah, take pictures. Take pictures of the cop. This person was doing extortion, apparently for the county.
I have first-hand knowledge.
You?
Yeah.
I'm an eyewitness.
At least they would be aware of your knowledge. The paid people in the public would be aware of the knowledge of what's going, of the activities going on.
Right.
Like, why are we putting up with this? Why aren't we lynching people who are doing this?
That's really why our government has gotten so far as it has the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Because people have been doing stuff without other people realizing they're doing it.
That and people turn a blind eye, or they're scared to do something about it.
Well, yeah, I was scared. So I know the moment I confronted her,
you
she'd follow me or arrest me, or she'd follow me back to a vehicle and issue me a ticket.
Right. Repercussions would come on you.
And
even though she's a public servant.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is supposed to be a tourist town. Mm-hmm. And she's driving off tourists. That hurts the town.
But she was sent out by the city fathers to do that specifically.
Right.
Or she wouldn't have been doing
it. So they're self-sabotaging.
Well, now, you don't know that she'd been appointed to do that. She might have taken that on her own accord. Most of the police officers that work nowadays, especially maybe even women, might have to go to some kind of training.
If that was the case,
they give it at school, maybe train them up. Sometimes you may be issued the job to go out and generate revenue with legitimate law violations. And so this woman made up in her mind that these people are breaking the law in my eyes, so I'm just going to write them a full ticket. I mean, she may not.
Well, yeah, I mean, it may just be her character, too.
Yeah.
I mean, an honest cop's going to do an honest job. A dishonest cop's going to do a dishonest job.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean they know what is honest.
Well,
true.
On the fact that whether you're headlight out or not, that's honest. And that's
right. She blatantly was dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
But in honest society, hiring an honest cop is not going to issue a ticket for a headlight out.
Exactly. That's what we're saying.
Whereas an honest cop in a dishonest society would issue such a ticket not knowing any better.
That's true, too.
Right.
I was involved in a drug deal, so man, step out of the car. Yes, officer, what's going on? Well, man, this vehicle matches a suspicious vehicle report we had. It has four doors, and there was a four-door vehicle that was involved in a drug deal. So, man, step out of the car. Because a lot of us ignorantly love to stand behind that, well, they have to have reasonable suspicion, Josh. Yeah, do you know how lax reasonable suspicion has gotten?
That's just like, the comedian, black guy, he goes, first thing I did when I got a job, I went out and got me a police scanner. Because he's like, I listen to the police scanner before I go out you know, make sure, you know, because he's like making fun, but, you know, he says, be on the lookout for a black male between 4 foot and 6 foot. He's, well, staying in the crib tonight. You know.
Between 4 foot and 6 foot.
Yeah.
No, sir, I'm 3'10". You got the wrong guy.
Right.
Close enough for Halloween.
You know, like you said, four door.
Yeah.
Right.
Reasonable suspicion. Well, it was a blue four-door car. Well, man, you're driving a blue four-door car.
Black male, 12-foot,
6-foot. We need to search the vehicle. Ma'am, we found $700 in here tucked underneath your seat.
Well, I keep it there in case of emergency. I try to hide it, it's there just in case of emergency.
Well, ma'am, we're going to have to seize this. Because that's exactly what drug dealers do, too. That's exactly what drug dealers do, too. Ma'am, can I see your purse? I need to look at your credit cards for a second.
Officer, why?
Well, because that money, too, could be used in criminal activities. Takes out his little device, swipe, just like you're at Denny's or something. Money is gone, baby. Good luck getting that back.
Yeah. And with RFID chips in your cars? He doesn't even have to get it out of your wallet.
Right.
He just scans it through the air.
37 feet? He can scan your cards from his car.
Wow. And with an amplifier, they can scan your cards as you're driving by.
100 feet away.
Mm-hmm. And if the cops can do that, surely the criminals can too.
And surely they can get their hands on these things.
Right. The cops have access to these things, criminals have access to them. Cops, a lot of the cops are criminals. They probably sell them to the criminals. You know, what does the government do? Government creates a problem so it can create a solution for the problem. And that's what I was going to say earlier about something I forgot what we were talking about. But, you know, you look at lovely RFID chip, okay? You look at the fact that it's creating a problem. Now, you say, okay, what is it that they're trying to sell us to advocate a solution for the problem?
Identity theft protection.
Right.
And you know what the best identity theft protection there is?
Not to have an identity.
Don't have an identity in the first place. Don't subscribe to their credit system. Period.
Right. And this identity theft protection program is such a big ordeal.
If they're going to force you to have a credit rating, make sure your credit rating is so low that nobody can steal nothing from you because you will not qualify for a loan.
Nobody will want to steal your identity. Yeah.
But, whoa, I steal this one. I'm going to owe money.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm not in a hurry to fix my credit score. I'm like, I got to... my credit score is not all that great.
600, 500?
It's 5 or 6. It's, I don't know. But it needs to be lower.
I have not used credit so long. I'm sure mine's less than 400.
Yours is probably the same as Dave Ramsey.
Zero.
Yeah.
Is it possible to get a zero? Because I know they use an artificial numbering system.
Well, when Dave Ramsey looks up his, it says, you do not have a FICO score. Right. You do not have a whatever score. So he says, I do not have an I love debt score. That's what he calls it, an I love debt score.
I think if you don't use it for 7 years or 10, you're pretty much, after 7 years, all your unsecured debt falls off, goes away.
Boom, I got nothing.
Like bankruptcy. People go bankrupt, but they just wait 7 years. Oh, if you go bankrupt, you can get your credit back 2 years. But if you just wait 7 years, all unsecured debt, and you have a 5 or 7 year statute of limitations, and it has to be removed from the credit score.
Well, as far as they know, I am dead because there's no activity on that.
You got a bank account?
Nope.
No.
You got that other little thing?
And that's his, actually, but that's his way of...
I have a bank account.
No, you're not.
He uses it.
Just not making the question. You have one of those little...
Oh, driver's license.
Well, they issued one, but I never used it. I haven't even opened the envelope.
You know, they're good for 6 years.
I think in this state only 5.
Well, you might want to open the envelope so you can see when it expires. But yeah, he doesn't even carry it. When you ask him for his identification, he gives him his business card.
And actually, the last few times they've accepted it without question.
Do they know you're not allowed to sell it? They have the system, they can look it up and not.
They can.
Well, they're always wearing these little cameras on their thing. They can look them up by a picture.
Over a year ago,
they have face recognition app.
Over a year ago, I got pulled over and I didn't give him too hard a time. He asked first name, last name. I gave him Given and my family name and specifically told him that that's what it was. And, you know, he used that to look me up and came back. But when he came back, my first question, am I under arrest? No. Am I free to go? No, just a second. You know, it's a sideline conversation, but just to finish up the story. He did that about 4 or 5 times. It took about an hour. I came to the conclusion that about a second is roughly 15 minutes. There's about 15 minutes in every second based on the results of that conversation. He ultimately told me, go on.
Yeah, because he kept saying, am I under arrest? He'd say, no, am I free to go? Hang on. And you go back to the car. Then you come back to the pickup truck.
Did he ever try to get out once you're pulled over? Do you have any kind of suspicion about what
he never told me. There was a couple of oddities about the situation. I threw him off. The first question he asked me was, do you know why I pulled you over? I have no idea. I have no idea.
Did you really have no idea? Did you have a sneaking suspicion?
Actually, I had no idea, but
okay. Didn't know if my trailer brakes weren't working or you.
I didn't have a trailer that time.
Okay.
All right. I told him no idea. He asked me for. What did he ask me? Oh, he asked me if I had any weapons on me or in the car, and at the time, I didn't know how to answer that question honestly, so I deferred and I indicated the tools on the floor. Do you see any weapons there? You know, do you consider any of these tools to be weapons? And he glanced at him. No. Well, then I guess there's no weapons here. All right. But
yeah,
I had a misunderstanding. See, that is not a weapon.
It could be used as a weapon.
It's a tool.
Your reply should have been, officer, I have no firearms in the car, if that's what you're asking.
Well, no, a firearm is not a weapon.
It's not necessarily a firearm is a tool.
Well, that's true, but that's what he was
referring to. It's your intent.
If you knew that you didn't have any in the car, you could have scooted right on by that by saying I am.
I can kill you with this.
I understand.
All right? All my pinky, for those who cannot see it, this is my pinky. It's about maybe 1 3/4 inches long.
Did you understand what I said? You could have avoided about 15-minute exercise there by just saying
that's not the point.
And then he would have moved to the next question.
That's not the point. The point is,
when he asked if he had any weapons, that was his main. He could have rephrased that and said, do you have any firearms? That's what I'm saying. If he just said no firearms in the car, he'd have moved to the next question. All I'm telling you is you could have shut that situation down.
Right.
The next.
The point is, it was an irrelevant question.
It was an irrelevant question, yeah. He hadn't established that he had committed any crime whatsoever. He's asking me if I had weapons. One of the things he did not ask me, he didn't ask me for registration, insurance, or what's the other one?
Wow.
Yeah, the standard issue question.
Because I'd thrown him off. I'd thrown him off by, one, deferring on the second question and saying I had no idea why he pulled me over. Typically, when they ask you why, if you know why you pulled him over, yeah, I was speeding.
They write you a ticket for speeding. Yeah, my headlight is out. They write you a ticket for your headlight. Yeah, my brake light was out. Yeah, they write you.
Maybe they're fishing to see if you already got something wrong so they can bite you. Because then they just ran.
I didn't bite the hook and it threw off.
So you think he had absolutely no reason to pull you over other than a white truck described as yours was it just robbed a bank recently?
I'm sure he would have pulled that out of his hat had I let him speak anywhere afterwards. It's basically after that, he never told me why he pulled me over. But then again, I never gave him a chance after he left. All right.
Because he kept saying, am I under arrest? No. Am I free to go?
It's like...
Well, he asked you for your driver's license. You said, well, are you conducting an investigation? Because if you are, I don't think I would want to give it to you because it would be grounds for incrimination. Didn't you answer that question? No.
But he didn't ask that.
He didn't ask that.
For the driver's license.
Okay.
Not only that, but he wasn't driving. He was traveling.
Were you in the driver's seat?
No.
Oh, who was...
I was in the...
He wasn't driving.
I was in the operator's seat of the traveling.
He was behind
vehicle.
The wheel, but he was traveling. He wasn't driving. He wasn't in commerce.
And more particularly, I am not in commerce with the state of Missouri or the federal government of the United States.
The de facto government of the United States.
Well, the United Soviet States of America,
you know,
as you call it. I was not driving for them. I wasn't driving for their child, the state of Missouri.
Let me ask you guys, of all your wisdom, I had a friend the other day that had a situation with the police and a wreck that wasn't his fault. And I understand that he has been driving without a driver's license, and the wreck was clearly the other person's fault, which the insurance company had declared that the man, and also the sheriff who took the report. Not your fault, Biden, but the insurance company said that they debated that it was all good. But the insurance company had called them back, and I'm not sure if they realized that he didn't have a driver's license that was valid at the time. And I don't know, do you think they might try to kick out on the whole deal or put the blame on him even though it was his fault?
From my experience, it's a definitive yes. They will blame him just because he didn't have insurance and blah, blah, blah.
No, he had insurance.
He didn't have
insurance. With no license.
But his license had expired.
Their argument will be that he wasn't supposed to be there.
But the accident wouldn't have happened had he been off the road.
What if he wasn't aware that his driver's license was expired?
Well, then they might not be able to make that claim. But they'll make the claim, but they might not be able to get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, he could fight it. But here's the argument that they have with truck drivers with their logbook. If the logbook is off, their argument is if your logbook was accurate, you wouldn't have been at this location, therefore the accident wouldn't have happened. If his license was expired, same argument. If his license is expired, he shouldn't be driving. Therefore, he shouldn't be at that point on the planet at the time of the accident because his license is expired, so he shouldn't have been there. They can make that argument. But it doesn't matter because he was traveling. He doesn't need a license.
That's what he might need help with.
Right.
He might need a written statement to the insurance company that he was not in commerce.
Correct.
And he was traveling unencumbered. Therefore, the license at the time was not required. And then the insurance company would have to take him to court and argue. But the fact of the matter is, the insurance company already made a claim for it.
Right.
That it was the other person's fault. The police report's already been filed. It's already been done. It was the other person's fault. They made inappropriate terms.
Yeah, they already admitted fault.
No, they didn't admit fault. The sheriff made the report, and the insurance company had already said, no, we're not making
right.
a claim.
Then you can also argue that, or they can argue.
But they called him back, and he doesn't know what they called him back about yet.
Yeah. They could also argue that they can't renege on their claim because they've already accepted that the other guy was at fault. So you got two arguments. But, yeah, they would have to do some homework on the whole traveling versus driving law.
The guy that was involved or the insurance company?
The guy that was involved, because they're the ones going to have to make the argument.
Won't the insurance company need to make the argument, seeing that they are representing the client?
The government will side with them because the driver didn't have a license.
Side with who? The insurer?
The insurance company.
Even though it was probably the other person's fault.
See, the government is in the business to make money off of us, sovereign people, even though they're supposed to be the public servant.
In other words, they really shouldn't be in business anyway, but...
Right.
Basically, allow things to degrade to where they turned it into a business.
They have an incentive to convict you because it goes towards...
I wasn't given a ticket. The guy that was involved, he wasn't given a ticket.
Right, but they can re... They can, if it goes to court, the judge can determine that the driver was... If it doesn't go to court, then don't go to court. What I'm trying to say is the court have an incentive to convict somebody. Somebody has to get thrown under the bus. You, David, me, one of us. You know, they...
Or the guy in the situation.
It can actually be the judge gets thrown under the bus, but the judge is going to darn well try to do his best to make sure it's not him.
Right. You know, say us three are involved in whatever the situation may be. Nobody's innocent. Somebody's going to get thrown on the bus. And the judge is going to pick which one, in their mind, and according to their rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, is the bad guy. And the person without the driver's license is going to be the bad guy. Or
because there's nothing else, he doesn't subscribe to the system.
Right. Now.
He's not a member of the criminal order, huh?
Right.
Well, he's not a member. We can blame him.
Right.
He's an outcast.
Yeah, he's not conforming. So we'll make him conform.
You guys know this guy I'm talking about, right?
One way or another, we'll make him conform.
Actually, but, I'm oblivious, so.
You know, they'll make us pay one way or another basis. They'll either fine us for not complying and extort money out of us for not complying, or make us comply and extort money out of us that way as well. Either way, it's extortion. And they'll punish us no matter what. Unless enough of us stand up against the system. We just need more people to stand up. But basically what it boils down to is...
good luck on that one, standing up against the traveling system.
Right.
Even though the Supreme Court made a comment or statement about that about 2 years ago.
Well, a number of people I've been listening to, one of them...
there's a lot of stuff on the internet about it.
Yeah, like that's useful.
Well, but you could do your homework.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good way to start.
Yeah, you can look and see what the claim is being done, but the trick is looking the stuff up after the fact. One of the people I listen to, he does this man or other animal thing. He started out, he was listening to Kent Hovind. And because of that, his story is a little bit more complicated. Let's see if I can get it straight. All right. Apparently he volunteered for this position, not knowing what the results would be. But he had rented some chairs to a group of people who were advocating the use of and selling colloidal silver. Well, the FDA came down. All right. So it was a controlled substance. Colloidal silver. All right. And they were fining them so many thousands of dollars a day. Just, all right, for as long as the case was going on, they were being fined this amount. And somewhere along the line, Alfred Addis, who had rented the chairs to these, had apparently volunteered. I thought they went after him because he was the only one with money. He wasn't even making colloidal silver. He wasn't selling colloidal silver. He only rented him the chairs. But I guess he believed in it enough that he volunteered to be an advocate on their behalf or something. And so the courts went after him and charged him. And so he's researching the law and you know, seeing just exactly what they're charging him with. He runs across this line, and it says, man or other animals. And he goes, well, that's a typo. It's like saying rocks and other horses. Rocks aren't horses. All right? You know? You know, his religious conviction is man is not an animal. If you read Scripture, it's clearly defined that man's not an animal for Scripture. So if you prescribe to Scripture, then you're not an animal. You have dominion over animals if you read Scripture, and you don't have dominion over your fellow man. Okay? You know, but if you're an evolutionist, well, then man's just another animal. Right? And so he runs across this thing in the law, and it's like, well, that's got to be a typo. But he's reading on and following through and linking the dots together. He runs across again in another law, man or other animal. It turns out this consistently in there. Every time they mention man, it says man or other animal. Well, so he filed a case on religious persecution. You know, you're charging me with this law on the basis that I'm an animal. Are you denying me my religious right to recognize myself as being a man made in God's image and I am not an animal? And he even begins all of his podcasts basically with that statement. This podcast is for men made in God's image with inalienable right for the, you know, whatever amendment, you know.
What happened?
All right. Well, they more or less dropped it.
No thousands of dollars fines no more.
They haven't been trying to collect it.
And they just put a lien on his property, figured when he died, they'd take it out there.
Well, he doesn't seem to have any negative repercussions at this point. You know, when he filed his papers, they went silent. They went silent for like 6 months at first, and they spoke to him once, and I guess he refiled the statement and the documentation, whatever, his response, and they went 7 years without paying. It's like, you better leave this one alone.
Oh, this is a guy on the radio.
This is a guy on the radio.
Okay.
And he's looked into the Texas laws on traveling and stuff like that. And he has thoroughly demonstrated that they were never, none of the traffic code in Texas was ever passed properly. Not valid. None of it. And if anything, he even went so far as to find out that those street signs that say speed limit 60 miles per hour, right, by their own code, it doesn't apply to the public. It applies to Department of Transportation personnel only.
Yep.
Well, one of my friends, his name's Billy, he said that Kansas has never really been classified as a state, but they are still considered territory because they put the papers in and didn't get approved, and then they never actually really granted state authorization that they are actually still technically a territory.
Well, what does that do to Missouri, since Missouri is a division of Kansas?
I don't know that.
Because Missouri and Kansas used to be one.
Well, I know that. I looked up the UCC code, and it said that the first state to adopt the UCC code, Uniform Commercial Code, was Pittsburgh. And they did that, though, in 1938, I believe, according
to
the
UCC. I'm going to tease you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pittsburgh's a state?
No, I don't know. Territory, whatever it is. Okay. And then Missouri, the reference to that down, because I was checking out some stuff on different laws and that sort. And I think Missouri had adopted the Uniform Commercial Code in 1944, if I recall my research correct. So, just an interesting point. I wonder how things and laws and things are really back before state or territories adopted the Uniform Commercial Code back in the 50s in Missouri and back in the early 30s, maybe in Pittsburgh or places like that. I wonder how the restrictions were on feeding and driver's license and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
You weren't around yet?
No.
Well, they should change the side, you know, that's for sure.
Well, nothing new under the sun. They're always trying to impose
new rules, regulations, guidelines.
Every son does. I mean, it's like, what's the protection racket? You know, you got a store, and the mafia comes through and says, "Yeah, we're going to protect you, so you got to pay up." Well, I don't want your protection. Now close your window.
Well, they send two groups around. They send bullies around to beat the crap out of you and destroy your crop. Then they send some lawyers around that, "Oh, I hear you've had some trouble. Well, we can protect you, but it's going to cost you X amount of dollars." And the people that pay up get protected. People that don't pay up, they send their thugs around again.
Sound like the mob to me.
Exactly.
Same difference.
That's exactly what the mob did. That's exactly what the government does. Just government does it a little more subtly.
Professional.
Well, they put liens against your property. You don't pay the extortion, so they put a lien against your property. So when you go to sell it, you can't sell it because nobody will buy it from you because they think the government is the rightful rulers, whatever. But I mean, if you read scripture, nowhere in there are you authorized by God to legislate anything except maybe how your property may be used. All right? You are not to exercise authority one man over another, period. Doesn't matter whether you're king or even the father. All right? Now, you do own your house. And you can tell your kids, "Hey, you want to use this bedroom? It better be clean. You don't want to use this bedroom? Go out and get yourself a job. Get your own place." All right?
You know, what did you say when I told you that?
Bye.
Hasta la vista.
When you back up the laptop. Huh?
Well, you know, if you can't live by your parents' rules, then the sooner you move out. You know? But in the meantime, you abide by your parents' rules. But hopefully your parents' rules are not draconian.
Draconian! And yeah, I need to look into draconian astrology.
Draconian. They're dangerous, dude.
Or they don't find any drugs? Ma'am, you're on your way. Have a great day. Well, what about my money, officer? No, ma'am, I'm sorry. Folks, that's the world you now live in. That's exactly what drug dealers do, too. That's exactly what drug dealers do, too. Ma'am, can I see your purse? I need to look at your credit cards for a second. Officer, why? Well, because that money, too, could be used in criminal activities. Takes out his little device, swipe, swipe, just like you're at Denny's or something. Money is gone, baby. Good luck getting that back. They search the car. They don't find any drugs. Ma'am, you're on your way. Have a great day. Well, what about my money, officer? No, ma'am, I'm sorry. Folks, that's the world you now live in. That's the world you now live in. That's not a scary, futuristic novel. It's not an evil movie that was made. Nah, that's happening right now. According to the Highway Patrol, we're going to look for different factors in the way you're acting. See, told you, no proof, just how you're acting. This is from Oklahoma Lieutenant John Vincent. We're going to look at different factors in the way that you are acting. We're going to look for if there's differences in your stories. If there's some way that we can prove that you're falsifying information to us about your business. Holy Hannah.
Right. Our business is none of their business. They're the public service.
But they'll use that as a basis to say you're being dishonest. Well, okay. Warrensburg. The two young sheriffs pulled us over.
Right.
Because you swerved to see who was tailgating you.
Oh, yeah, they're right on my ass.
Couldn't even see the vehicle. All I can see is the headlights shining out underneath the trailer.
Warrensburg, Missouri?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had just loaded up David's stuff. We was bringing it down here.
All right. And I told them the truth. And they said, you're lying to us. Get out of the car. Well, I told them the truth. It's just something that they weren't prepared to hear. You know? You know?
That was actually a fun experience.
Well, the mistake is I was trying to educate.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious, though. The cop kept coming up to me asking me questions because they couldn't get a straight answer from David.
But I was giving a straight answer. That's it.
Were you giving the same answer back?
I just laugh. I mean, I try not to laugh at the cop, but I couldn't help it. I just laugh.
Yeah, I knew you'd be back.
Yeah, I told him, I knew you'd be back. But he was trying to get his name. And
I told him my name.
Right.
But they didn't believe me.
They was trying to get his last name.
I don't have one.
Right. And I told him, I said, I told him it was part of his religion. Well, what kind of religion is that? I've never heard of it.
A religion of truth.
I've heard of all kinds of religions. I've never heard of a religion like that. I'm like, I don't know. It's part of his thing, you know, his thing that he believes in. And then I educated him on how to ask the question properly.
And how did you instruct him to do that?
I basically told him to ask, I asked him what his family name was.
Yeah, except I was already prepared for that one.
Yeah.
Well, which family? I've been
remembering.
Well,
maybe I gave him his family name, but I don't remember. But anyway, eventually I gave them what they were looking for, but I gave it in the fashion that David would want me to give it to them.
And it's which family? Because I've been a member of I'm a member of several different families.
He could be a child family member.
If they adopt me.
He's practically been adopted.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you're practically adopted.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm not trying to cause a controversial personal conversation, I'm just trying to take back.
Well,
or observations.
They have not formally stated it.
No.
And I don't know if their daughters would accept me in their family.
Probably not. Not Laura, anyway. She's a privilege.
Laura's kind of warming up to me.
Is she?
She's all right.
It seems that she's catching on to what I'm about. She's been, a little offish to me because she didn't
know
what I was about.
You're just weird anyway.
Well, yeah.
You're on a recorded podcast.
Right. That's why it's called Demented Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, she's a little offish to me, but I think she's starting to catch on to what I'm about.
Right.
You know, and she sees that I actually am coming over to be helpful.
Oh, that part.
Okay. You know, I'm not there for a free meal. I'm not there, you know, to extract as much money as I can from them. I'm there to be helpful. And that the fact that her dad pays me for help being helpful, you know, gives me an offering in return, you know, I think she's beginning to recognize that, oh, gee, that's not normal wages, you know.
Oh, that's not how people normally work.
And that, gee, he actually does sometimes do work and doesn't get paid anything for it, and he still works.
Well, you've been doing work for free out there? And Laura didn't know that?
I can't call it that because they feed me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. He insists that it's really not about feeding the cash, it's about protecting the people. Of course, they shut up. I know a lot of people are just going to focus on the fact that we're stealing money, but that's really the small thing that's happening now. The large part is that we found that the biggest benefit is the identity theft. If we can prove, you can prove that you have a legitimate reason to have the money, we'll give it back to you. But we've done that in the past. Holy cow. Do you understand what he just said? They're going to take your money, and then if you can prove that you have a right to have it, they'll give it back to you.
Right. So if anybody
in Oklahoma,
somebody stopped you on the street and said, oh, let me see your wallet. Wow, you got a lot of money here. I'm confiscating it because I don't believe it belongs to you. If you prove it's yours, I'll give it back to you.
Possession is non-tenant law.
Right. If you can prove that it's yours, actually that's not true. That's a lie they keep telling you over and over again. Possession is only 10%. It's the other way around. But that's another
that?
Issue. That was something on the porch. Oh, no, it sounded like your toilet seat fell down.
Oh.
You must not put it down. When you get a wife, you're going to have to learn to put it down. Remember that. All right.
Yeah. Women make a big ordeal about that. Well, you've been married before, you should know that.
Well, yes, I have been married. Well, thank you for my promise to
anyway, that's a rabbit hole.
My daughter actually fell in the toilet because I didn't put the seat.
My wife did too one time. She was about 5'3", 110 pounds.
Yeah, I bet she was not happy. I got in trouble over that one.
Mine made a fuss because I didn't put the lid down.
Well, I started putting the whole thing down after that.
I didn't put the lid down, so she made a fuss about that. I told her after I heard this one radio podcast, oh, no, that's for your protection. Sometimes snakes come out of the sewer. If the lid's up, you can see it before you sit down.
Right. Now, you know what? So snakes can come up.
Well, it's true, they can, but
it's not likely.
I have a snake in my bathroom one time. My black snake.
Putting the chlorine in the fluoride kill.
I know chlorine and fluoride.
Oh, yeah, you got well water.
Right, and I have a snake in the bathroom. The only thing I could figure come up in the sewer.
Right, if you have a septic, that could be, that's definitely fun.
So we lost our chain of thought. What was the last thing he said?
I don't know. You pretty much got it all. I just keep going back about a 30-second loop every time you restart it again.
Well, can he back it up?
Oh, he does. No,
just a hair.
Yeah. Anyway, it's kind of like we're burning up a minute of our time.
I'm not in the past. Holy cow. Do you understand what
you
just said?
Now I remember.
They're going to take your money, and then if you can prove that you have a right to have it,
you can have that.
They'll give it back to you.
Otherwise,
if you live in Oklahoma, get out.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, have it in your wallet.
I'm not done with this yet. State Senator Kyle Loveless from Oklahoma City. removed due process and a belief
that one finger salute.
Proven guilty. No kidding. They're going to take your stuff, including your money, And then you have to somehow prove that you were not going to do something
that sugar was in
with it, and they'll then give it back to you. And the times it costs you more to fight it to get it back. So, I mean, really, let's say they take the $300 cash that you have on
you. I appreciate you offering that to me because it is a much higher cost.
Rubbing sugar ain't $300
like cash.
So they take that money from you. And then it's going to cost you $500 to get the $300 back.
I don't have that
now. Well, that makes sense.
Can I tell
you,
they
take the $300 in cash that you have on you because that's now considered suspicious. Druggy, scary, $300 in cash. So they take that money from you, and then it's going to cost you $500 to get the $300 back. Anyway, Kyle Loveless, it says, we've seen single moms have their stuff taken. Cancer survivor had his drugs taken. A Christian band had their equipment taken. We've seen a lot of innocent people's stuff being taken. We've seen where the money goes and how it gets misspent. Oh, yes. The question then is, well, what do they do with this money? It's crazy.
Jesus,
in some municipalities, they have had sheriffs build fishing retreats for their deputies. Yeah. You thought it went to, like, somehow help protect you? No, silly Willie. No, they'll spend a certain percentage on things like armored personnel carriers and, you know, surplus military equipment, which, again, doesn't really protect you. But they'll spend some money on that. But then another thing is they'll use it for bonuses and all that sort of stuff. Now, this is where it really gets nuts. The state of Oklahoma paid the RAND Group $5,000 for the software and the scanners. And you might say, well, that ain't actually too bad. I mean, $5,000 for 16 scanners and the software to run them, that ain't too bad. Oh, but wait, there's more.
Yeah, they
also,
3% commission.
They, being the ERAD Group Incorporated, they get 7.7% of all
scanners.
Yeah.
So they get an incentive from the credit card company to steal money from
them. Right. Right. Plus, they generate revenue for the Oklahoma State Police Department.
Right.
They have barbecues and
so,
buy new uniforms.
Just like the court.
New cars and new helicopters and stuff from it.
Right.
They
so,
made over $1 billion the first year out. 2016, they made $1 billion.
So the courthouse has an incentive to convict you because it goes towards their retirement plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then the officers or the police department gets an incentive from the credit card company to steal money from you. And
they get to keep 93% of it.
Right. And then, of course, the federal government endorses it because then they don't have to give them money that the federal government takes from us in taxes, which is theft, to buy their equipment because they're already stealing money from us directly to buy their equipment.
Clearly, there's a reason why they hire people with lower than average IQ, be police officers and sheriffs and such.
Yeah.
I mean, not everyone has lower than average IQ, but there's a reason why they have a tendency to hire people with lower than IQ, because they couldn't sleep at night if they were able to figure out what they were doing.
Right.
That or they are criminals.
Right.
So, if
I have a friend who was a cop. And he got out because it was crooked. And now he's a security. He runs his own security agency.
In Chicago, Kansas City, where?
Down by Mount Vernon.
Really? That town keeps coming up. We gotta go visit.
The state of Oklahoma uses their little device to steal $1 million. ERAD Corporation gets $77,000.
How much of the money was it?
Right. Doesn't that just make you haters? Yeah. So, if the state of Oklahoma uses their little theft device to steal $1 million, ERAD Corporation gets $77,000.
But they made more than $1 million.
Right. Doesn't that just make you happy? Doesn't that make you not suspect police officers as being thieves? And remember, $1 million is on the very, very, very low end. Very low end. Civil forfeiture is a multi-billion dollar industry. And yes, it is an industry. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And we just want to pretend it doesn't apply to us, that it doesn't pertain to innocent people, Josh. They're just going criminals. No, they're not.
Yeah, you think that until it happens to you.
No, they're not. They're going after the money, honey. They don't care if you're innocent or guilty. They have no care. Do you think ERAD Corp getting their 7.7%, do you really think that's what they're after is your truth in your case? Oh, how big is it? Oh, it's at least $12 billion a year.
Oh, my gosh. Is that 12 billion?
At least.
And they're going to make 7.7% of that.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, now we're talking about companies making $70-80 million of your money because they took it. Wow. Don't just hear this story and say, "Wow, that's really crazy." Wow. Okay. Well, I got to go to work, but man, thanks, Josh. Thanks for telling me. No, hear this story and say, wait a second, what is going on? What politicians on the local level are we going to be voting for this November that are for or against civil forfeiture?
Mm-hmm.
And the federal government actually put a pause to their civil forfeiture because they realized how crazy it was, how many billions of dollars the federal government was making.
That's
wrong. Oh, yeah, they'll take your money, too.
Well,
there's a report on the Institute for Justice that I cited in the book that I'm working on. And there's a report there, Policing for Profit. And it talks about the massive abuse of civil forfeiture. So, for example, if you're thinking, well, Josh, what states have civil forfeiture? The answer? All of them.
Mm.
And do you really think Oklahoma is the only state that's going to be using this electronic device? This means that you're going to need to hide your debit cards and your credit cards and your prepaid Walmart cards, and you're going to have to hide all your cards.
That's why they want us to go digital.
So they can't hide it.
You can't hide it.
Oh.
And so you have a prepaid.
I've got my chips in it. ASAP.
You have yourself a prepaid debit card based on Bitcoin.
I'll tell you what you can do. This is on the podcast. You can set up a checking account and a savings account. And do not authorize automatic rolls out of the savings account. You get $100 or whatever in your checking account. And if they happen to get it, they happen to get it. If you need money and you're out and you know you only got $12 in your bank account, you call the bank or you call the 800 number and say, I need you to roll $200 out of my savings account into my checking account. They will charge you a $2 fee or whatever, and you could spend that at the gas pump with your groceries.
Well, you find the bank that doesn't charge you the $2 fee. You do a little bit of research.
Okay, but that's better than losing it all because
you
swipe your card while you're driving down the freeway 100 feet away.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I keep most of the money in the business account, and I don't have a card.
Absolutely, or checkbook or nothing.
Yeah, I have a checkbook.
Uh-huh.
I have checks, but I don't have a debit card for that account. And that's where actually most of the money goes.
Right.
I
try to do the same thing.
yep.
But then, of course, that is a crime too. Oh, see, now you're caught. Means that you're going to need to hide your debit cards
and
your credit cards and your prepaid
cards. Crime to hide yourself.
You're going to have to hide all your cards. But then, of course, that is a crime, too.
If they're chipped, there ain't no hiding.
Right, but you want to hide those things from criminals, which the cops tend to be criminals, but then you are assumed a criminal because you're hiding it from the cops. Or you're... they assume you're hiding it from them.
Right.
You're really hiding it from criminals, which are the
If you have something to hide, you must be a criminal.
Right.
But
what if I'm hiding it from the criminals?
You must be a criminal because you're hiding it.
Right.
Oh, see, now you're caught. They're making you become a criminal. When are we going to say to ourselves, hey, wait a second. If I'm traveling through a state, and the state highway patrol, or even local police, doesn't matter, they just use the highway patrol as an example, the local police pull you over and take your money, when are we going to say enough's enough? And when is law enforcement going to say, well, Josh, I listen to you every day, and I'm one of them good apples. Okay, did you say you're never going to participate in civil forfeiture? No, I have to do my job, then I'm sorry, Charlie, you're not a good apple.
Right, I'm just doing my job.
Did you file a grievance with your union that you and your fellow officers are being forced to commit a crime?
Didn't I listen up, you said? I'm yep. just doing my job.
Well, no, because they're telling us it's not a crime. They there's an ordinance that allows us to do this. Then I'm sorry, Charlie, you're a bad apple.
It's unlawful.
I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. We can't hide behind, well, the city passed an ordinance or the state passed a bill that says we can take their money, so I'm just doing my job. No, doing your job is never an excuse. And I feel really bad about the people who think, well, you know, maybe I am keeping crime off the streets. Let's go to Tom. Tom, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, Josh. It is something to be worried about, to be fearful of, to be downright scared about.
Well, this caller is a cop.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look back at all of the exactions and thievery that this government has taken part in to eat away our substance against the law, against the Constitution, and against simple, moral, human, proper way of being, you can't be seen in the butt, because once they get ingrained in people's minds as normal, including law enforcement, which in a lot of these states, and Tennessee is a big offender, then people see it as such, and then you really have a hard time turning it back. Look at all the licenses and fees and other things that are not lawful that we accept as normal.
Yeah, and if you live in Tennessee, vote for Lenny. Because he's running for Congress. And
say it louder because, you know, we want to...
Vote for Lenny!
VoteForLenny.com! He lives in Tennessee. He's running for Congress in Tennessee. And he will vote no on anything that increases the size, the cost, extends the reach and the power of government. And he will put forth bills that will decrease the size, decrease the extent of the reach and the power of government in a reverse fashion in which it grew.
In other words, he'll get government out of your hair.
Out of your beeswax.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, it used to be between you, your pastor, your family, and the good book where it was recorded. Now the state is involved. Why? Because the business, they make money off of it, coming and going. Whether you're getting married or whether you're getting divorced, people have their hands in the bucket, and they're making money from your misery.
Yep.
And that's what it's all about. You're right. It's a business. And as far as ordinances are concerned, they're not law. In fact, statute law is right at best. You know, we have common law, and we have constitutional law. And, you know, they charge people with crimes. They say it's a crime. They assume a ticket. And you're forced to go to court under threat of violence. Yet, I don't know anywhere where you can find a criminal procedure referring to statutory law. Because they question their best.
Right. most of those laws are not laws. They're rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, but they're not laws.
Absolutely, and we're not even talking about criminal forfeiture. Criminal forfeiture is if, let's say, you murdered somebody in your house and you were found guilty, the jury finds you guilty, they take your house. Totally get that. I understand that. Sell it off and use the money for charity or something. But that's not even what we're talking about. These are people who they're never, ever going to get charged with a crime. They still get to take your stuff.
Yeah.
See where you're at, Tom. See where you're at. I want to get your take on one more thing. Hey, thanks for watching. If you loved what I had to say, then subscribe right here. If you hated what I had to say, subscribe right here. I'm being mad at social media, isn't it? Either way, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email right there.
So,
we're approaching the three-hour mark.
As usual, let's do Ron Paul real quick.
That's what I was going to ask.
I will call into the podcast so I can do Ron Paul.
You can't.
Why not?
You're going to have to call Ron Paul and put him on speaker on your phone.
No, I can do that. What?
There you go.
That'll work.
You can do that, but you can't call it anymore. You're still on as far as my phone's concerned.
I can call in. What?
Ron Paul's got a podcast? I guess?
Oh, as a...
Right. It just charged me a penny a minute. So I'll get charged for 4 pennies.
Right, so I got to turn the volume up so I'll recognize that you're there.
It'll work.
My co-host messed it up.
I hit the wrong.
But thing. Seeing as he's the main host, in truth.
I'm so used to dialing that one, I forgot to dial the other one.
But we're recorded now. So here comes Ron Paul.
It can be a challenge to follow the pronouncements of President Trump, as he often seems to change his position on any number of items from week to week, or from day to day, or even from minute to minute. Consider his speech last week at the Conservative Political Action Committee. It was reported as fiery and blistering, but it was also full of contradictions. In this speech, President Trump correctly pointed out that the last 15 years of U.S. military action in the Middle East has been an almost incomprehensible waste of money, $6 trillion, and he said, and that, after all that, U.S. war and meddling, the region was actually in worse shape than before we started. It would have been better for the U.S. president to have spent the last 15 years at the beach than to have pursued the Middle East war policy, he added, stating that the U.S. infrastructure could have been rebuilt several times over with the money wasted on such militarism. All good points from the president. But then, minutes later in the same speech, he seemed to forget what he just said about wasting money on militarism. He promised he would be upgrading all of our military, all of it, including offensive, defenses, everything, in what would be, he says, one of the greatest military buildups in American history. The greatest military buildup is in addition to the trillions he plans on spending to make sure the U.S. arsenal is at the top of the pack in the world, as he told the press last Thursday. And that is in addition to the trillion-dollar nuclear modernization program that is carrying over from the Obama administration. Of course, when it comes to nuclear weapons, the United States already is at the top of the pack, having nearly 7,000 nuclear warheads. How many times do we need to be able to blow up the world? At CPAC, President Trump worried about needlessly spending money on military misadventures, but then in the same speech he promised even more military misadventures in the Middle East. Where is the money going to come from for all this? Is the president going to raise taxes to pay for it? Is he going to make massive cuts in domestic spending? In the same CPAC speech, President Trump reiterated his vow to massively lower taxes on the middle class, reduce taxes on American business, and make our tax code more simple and much more fair for everyone. And that's all good. So it's not coming from there. Will he cut domestic spending? The president has indicated he also wants a massive infrastructure modernization program launched in the near future. The plan will likely cost far in excess of the $1 trillion the president has suggested. That leaves only one solution, printing money out of thin air. It has been the favorite trick of his predecessors. While he correctly condemns the $20 trillion national debt passed down from previous administrations, his policies promise to add that number massively increased. Printing money out of thin air destroys the currency, hastening a U.S. economic collapse, and placing a very cruel tax on the working and middle classes as well. Following the president's constantly changing policies can make you dizzy. That's a shame, because the solution is very simple. End the U.S. military empire overseas. Cut taxes and regulations at home. End the welfare magnet for illegal immigration. And end the drug war. And then get out of the way. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414.
To repeat the announcement, press...
All righty.
Yeah. Get rid of the welfare magnet for illegal immigration.
Well, just get rid of the welfare magnet, period.
True that.
Just, you want welfare? Get it through your church.
True that.
Get the way it's supposed to, you know, get through your groups around you. Don't go to Uncle Sam.
But that's not what Uncle Sam wants.
Go to people near you who know you and know whether you even deserve it.
Support your community and let your community support you.
There you go.
And get rid of nuclear weapons. We don't need to blow up the world 7 times over.
Yeah.
Can't get rid of nuclear weapons.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
that's like taking all the guns away from people. That means only the criminals have to.
That's true.
Distribute the nuclear weapons to your neighbors.
Well.
Because I trust them better than I do Uncle Sam with them.
That's true, too. But, I mean.
Even the crazy Monsanto neighbor.
He's got a point. You can't take away people's guns because then only the criminals have guns. So everybody should have nuclear weapons, because then everybody will be afraid to use nuclear
Except
weapons.
Except the ones that are really bad. They're the good people that are hefty. You need to keep away from countries like Iraq and Iran. They don't need nuclear weapons because they only have bad intentions. That's
well,
like
yeah,
handing a gun to a criminal and saying, we know you got a felony, we know you've been convicted of bank robberies.
Iraq and Iran.
Well, or those type of countries.
The people that believe that...
Where was Gaddafi from?
Oh, stop.
Because Gaddafi was accused of being one of these bad people, and really...
He wasn't.
He was not.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. We don't really know who's a bad guy.
Okay.
Bad
people whose religion says that they're going to die and go to heaven is like 77 virgins.
Right. Yeah.
Well, there's a very similar religion that most people ascribe to.
Oh, tell us. What is it?
Called Christianity.
Called Christianity. It has similar doctrines in it as well. It's just a matter of how you apply them.
Well, yeah, most people don't apply them literally.
Yeah.
Right.
My mother says I'm too literal. My brother and I are both too literal. Well, maybe that's the thing. The religious radicals or the Muslims or whoever are applying it literally. And maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't, but I don't know. I just don't see the point in it. Going around right. Killing people, let alone kill myself to kill people.
All right. Yeah,
the people who believe in killing themselves to kill others, those are the ones we should not allow to happen.
I just realized something. When you hung up, you probably stopped the podcast.
No, I didn't.
Well, assuming you hadn't.
Let's go.
Check it.
carried on.
Okay.
All right, assuming it's still recording, we're going to say good night now.
Hasta la vista!
And hope you enjoyed the Demented Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
At DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
Good night.
Good night.